Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. With the advent of Instagram, Facebook, Flickr, and other apps, it seems that everyone is a photographer these days. Or are they? It seems that photography has lost its specialness, but our next guests would disagree.
For the past decade, New York-based photographer Penelope Umbrico has been sifting through the millions of photographs available online, usually grouped by subject matter, like, say, the moon, or for sale items on Craigslist, or the often attempted selfie in front of a sunset.
She assembles these into large installations that are both the sum of their parts and more than that. Umbrico wants to know why we take and share photographs and what it says about us as humans.
Future Perfect, which is currently on view at the Milwaukee Art Museum, features more than 30 of Umbrico's installations, including around 5,000 individual images. I met up with her, along with Milwaukee Art Museum photography curator Lisa Sutcliffe, in the gallery as the show was about to open, and Umbrico explains what inspires her work.
My work had always had something to do with how people made photographs for each other. Had a lot to do with consumer culture and how corporations would actually create images and create photographs for consumption through advertising. And when the web came along and people were, you know, able to share with each other images that they made for each other, that just seemed so much more interesting than the consumer context. So it was just right from the very beginning. I mean, it presented itself as this massive archive that I could dig into from the beginning, and it's only gotten better because more people are using it. So when I say the beginning, I mean 2001, I think, was the first time that you could actually search something and find enough material that would be interesting.
Is that when, do you think, photography changed? Because it does seem to have become much more democratized, you know, because we have this ability on our phones to take decent photographs.
Right.
People, you know, can share them around the world. It seems like everyone's a photographer now, in
right.
a way.
Yeah, I think for sure. Maybe it started with the Kodak Instamatic or the Brownie or whatever, but I actually think that the idea of photography becoming democratized is a really interesting concept right now, because you're right, more people can use devices that are made to take photographs and more people can share them, but they're using devices that are made by corporations, right? And they're also sharing them on platforms that are predetermined, so that in fact we're not more democratized in a sense. We're actually more subject to the way we're told how to take photographs and what kinds of photographs we can take, and even how we're able to share them. We can't do anything we want, right? We're still subject to the devices that are provided to us. And I think actually in some ways the more photographs are shared, you know, in the populace, like not as artists, the more people share in that kind of context, the more scripts there are to follow, right? So in a way, and that's a lot of what this work is about, is the relationship to the collective practice of making a photograph and sharing.
And I actually think that this show really challenges the idea of photography as a democratic medium, that what you're doing is suggesting that the technology predetermines what we'll photograph and how we'll share it, so that, you know, we may think we're making an individual artistic statement, but in fact there's a collective zeitgeist that is making us take these pictures in a certain way. And Penelope's work accumulates those pictures, brings them together, and shows us those patterns and the ruptures.
Yeah, and where it doesn't happen. Because I think a lot of us would sit there and think, well, no, I'm not controlled by that.
Right.
But you're saying, yes, we are.
Yeah, because, I mean, how many different kinds of phones, for instance, they all use the same applications to create the photographs. You know, it's interesting. This project here is called Sunset Portraits from Flickr. And the technology of the camera is exposing for the sun, not the individual that's taking his or her photograph in front of the sunset. And so that's an example of where the technology is defining the aesthetic of the image, not the individual who's taking it. And the result is then all of these individuals who are standing in front of a sunset, sort of asserting a kind of presence and sharing that presence, start to disappear. They all look like each other.
And you know, and I hadn't thought about it in exactly that way, how much the technology that we use to create defines what we create.
Right, exactly. And yeah. It defines us in some ways, too. Like, if you look at Facebook and how people post images on there of their lives, they're constructing a subjectivity, but it's not subjective. It's subject to the devices that they're using and the platforms that they're posting them on and how they're able to post them. And
they have a personality that they want to project. They want you to see themselves a certain way. And I think that the comparison to TVs from Craigslist is really interesting, because here there are these accidental self-portraits where people have captured themselves reflected in the televisions they're trying to sell on Craigslist, and you see their unmade beds, you see all of this sort of intimate details that they would never share in their pictures on Facebook, right. But because of an accident of the camera, here they're letting you into their private lives in a way that they probably wouldn't want you ever, to yeah. if they knew it was happening.
Actually, technologically, the two are really fascinating to think about in relation to each other, because in the sunset portraits, the technology has changed so much now since I've started this project that the camera's now got facial recognition, and so is now exposing for the face, not the sun, still not by any decision making on the photographer's part, but you know, just through that technology, all of a sudden that starts to happen and I can't find these anymore. But with the Craigslist TVs, because smartphones and the kinds of devices that people are using to take utilitarian photographs in order to sell something on eBay or Craigslist, because that technology has gotten so much better, I'm now able to find these really detailed images that are reflected in the screens of the televisions for sale, which I couldn't 10 years ago. 10 years ago, they were just simply hints, you know, very, very slight hints of intimacy and a flash. Yeah.
Has the fact that this is all digital, and as you say, you know, we're subject to the technology that we're using and the platforms that everything gets posted on. Was this happening before when it was film, just not quite so much? Or did film allow us to be a little freer from the technology that we were using?
I think that's a really good question. I don't know, you know.
I was thinking about it this morning about how, like, street photographers would go out and capture their subjects on the street because that's what the camera allowed. It was a small camera, they could move around with it. And now Penelope can go onto the internet to capture a portrait of society because we share our pictures. So I think it's a little bit more about how we share and circulate rather than what the film or the digital allows us to do.
I think also another thing to add to that is that film cameras require a certain kind of knowledge around what it is that you're doing. And, you know, right now, anybody working in with a digital camera, if you're an artist or a photographer, you're aware of those technologies. And you have that same kind of knowledge. So
you can manipulate it in a way.
So you know what you're doing, and so you're not so subject to those technologies, whereas me, the other photographer, which is like the photographer that photographs my cats and my kids and my, you know, my the sunset, I don't care about those technologies. And so then I am being subject to them. Yeah.
So in a way it homogenizes photography, because if you don't know how to be a photographer and use the settings to make pictures the way you want to, they'll just all come out the same way.
Right. And what's interesting about that in relation to teaching, actually, is it's the first time I've noticed that I can teach photography in a really conceptual way. Like, my students can now focus on what it is and why it is that they're making photographs, not how to make a good photograph, which is what had been privileged, you know, up until like 10, 15 years ago.
Right. You had to know how to not only understand what was going on with the light and the lenses, you also had to be able to, a lot of people had to be able to actually go in the darkroom and print the photographs,
right, exactly.
and know what was happening there and how to manipulate it there, too. It seemed like a very esoteric knowledge.
Right, and it required some skill and some learning, and it still does. I mean, photography students do need to learn those things, but it's actually a kind of almost an existential anxiety that they all come into classes with, where, you know, they're looking at Instagram and saying, well, why bother making photographs since there's so many great photographs out there? And that's that moment of like, yeah, why bother? Like, if you have nothing to say, then don't say it, you know?
Right.
And so let's figure out what you need to say if you're going to be a photographer. And this is kind of the moment. I've always said that when I'm teaching, but this is the moment when people are listening to that because they're feeling this kind of crisis.
I assume that this is going to change as our relationship to the technologies change. Mm-hmm. As, you know, Facebook is replaced by something, Flickr is replaced by something, whatever the next iteration is, I mean, do you think the need to tell our collective story is going to fundamentally change in any way? Or is that going to continue no matter what the technologies are?
I think, for me, that's an interesting subject. Maybe for someone else it'll change.
Well, you were doing this before through catalogs that came in the mail. So I think that no matter what the technology is, you'll be following it, even if it moves on to a different platform.
Right.
Because your interest is really looking at what we photograph and what these photographs say about our culture.
Right.
So by amassing all of these pictures of the moon, you know, you create this sublime experience for us to see our collective desires and how technology shapes them.
Yeah.
And that makes me wonder how universal are these desires and the way we react to, say, the moon or the sun, the sunset. I mean, is this cross-cultural? Are you finding that it's everywhere?
These photographs are from everywhere. Flickr users are from everywhere, and the sun photographs are from everywhere. It's interesting, the mountain also is kind of like an oddly universal symbol of strength and they're icons. The word universality, though, is somewhat, it's a problem in a sense in that, like, I don't assume that it's universal, but I do assume that it's collective because there's enough there that I can... You know, I guess once there's more than three, there's a phenomenon, right? And then if I'm finding 28 million, it's clearly a collective thing. I don't know about universality, though.
Well, it's a fabulous exhibit, and we only touched a little bit of it. Penelope, I want to thank you for taking some time out and talking with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been really fun to talk to you.
Photographer Penelope Umbrico's first major museum exhibition is called Future Perfect, and it's open at the Milwaukee Art Museum through early August. We spoke with her and photography curator Lisa Sutcliffe recently at the Art Museum.